Well, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 18. We've been looking for the last few weeks on why Jesus Christ came. We're going to pursue that a little bit more this morning, why Jesus Christ came. Sometimes things aren't always as simple as we think, and yet the gospel is a very simple thing. But if you ask Jesus Christ why he came, we're going to find a third answer. We're going to see that really they're all the same, but it's a third answer. But he's talking here to Pontius Pilate. And the Apostle Paul later will commend Jesus Christ for his answer to Pilate and say, who before Pilate witnessed a good confession. Okay? So one of the things that he remarked about, probably Paul heard that confession. Because the Pharisees went in there and were all excited and seen to it that this man died and they wanted to make sure it got taken care of. And it's one of those pricks that it was hard for Paul to kick against. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. His heart was pricked by what was said and he commended it later. So John 18 verse 37 says, as Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everything one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now it's fascinating what Pilate's answer is. Pilate doesn't ask a question, he says something. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? He didn't ask what is truth. He said, what is truth? That's a sarcastic, okay? That's a scorner's answer. What is truth? Okay. What is truth? Well, the truth is Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul says. And the truth is in Jesus. He says that. It's outright. Pilate's looking at the truth. He's standing in front of him. I am the way, okay? I'm the truth. I'm the life, all right? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he's standing there and he is this person. Now, we saw earlier that Jesus Christ said he came into the world to save sinners. To seek and save that which was lost. Now he says, I've come into the world to give them the truth. Well, that's how we save sinners.
That's right.
Okay? He does it by giving them the truth.
Yes,
and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Knowing that truth.
Yes, thank you.
You know, there's been people who've wandered their whole lives trying to find out who their real parents were or what really happened in life and such, and they just feel like, gosh, if I ever knew these things, I'd be free or whatever. And then they find it out, and you know what? They're not free. Somehow or other, that wasn't what would settle it. That wouldn't take care of it or whatever. But Jesus Christ said, if I ever gave you the truth, you'd be a free person. The truth has the way of freeing. It also said in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Yes.
Well, now what is it? Why was he manifested? Seek and save that which was lost? Yeah. That was the lost people who work of the devil. God never wanted a lost person to be like he is.
That's right.
Okay? Well, how does he do that? By giving them the truth. By him giving the truth, he destroys the work of the devil. The truth bothers you. Old Harry Truman was on a train one time when he was campaigning for re-election. There wasn't a bit of hope in the world he'd ever be re-elected. He's on a train and talking to a crowd at one of these small towns like they used to do. And someone said, give them hell, Harry. And he said, yeah. And he said, those Republicans in Congress, I tell them the truth and they think it's hell. And that's where that phrase came from. All right, I tell them the truth and they just think it's hell when I tell them that. But the thing is, people don't always want what the truth is. Jesus Christ said, the truth shall make you free.
Yes, thank you.
Okay? If you're bound today, it's because you don't know the truth.
That's right.
Exactly. Jesus Christ wants you to know it. That's how he saves. I heard a preacher say this many years ago. If you were standing on the brink of the lake of fire, and God loved you as deeply as could be, he would not tell a white lie to keep you from going
right.
in. Okay? He would not do it. He saves you with the truth, not with lies. Lies is what's got you in trouble. Okay? Now, if you would, go with me to Revelation chapter 5. You know, one of the great pleasures I had this week is I got to hear a couple of great preachers preach in Horseheads. Some of you are familiar with, boy, his name always escapes me.
Yeah. From California.
Well, yeah, from California. Doug Fisher from California. And he's just everywhere. No matter what meeting you go to, Doug Fisher's at it. He taught on fasting, for one thing. And he was explaining that once a year, Lester Roloff would fast for 30 days. Only water for 30 days. Okay? And before he'd do it, he'd call the other preachers around the county to see who was in it with him. And a lot of them would. Once a year, 30 straight days without food. And Doug Fisher began to follow that. Okay?
Yeah.
And it dawned on me, that's why this man's all over the world, and every time I've ever heard him preach, it's always a help. I've never heard him preach that it wasn't real help to the people there.
That's right.
And the other person that was there was Dr. David Gibbs, lawyer for Christian Law Association, and he just said, he pointed Doug Fisher, that man changed my life. He taught teaching me to fast, tremendous. So just a blessing sometimes to get out and hear these kind of people. But I've ordered the messages so that you get a chance to listen to them. But again, a real blessing to us. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, a lot of you don't realize it, but Bible publishers always have seven sections in the back on their Bible. They do that because of that, okay? You count those seven sections, and they put it because it's the book sealed with seven seals. Verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. You know, one of the things with the Bible is God hates pride, hates it. In fact, a person can't get saved whose pride is still in front of them. Elihu said he has to hide pride from man. He's got to put him in a situation where the pride's out of the way. Whatever it would take to break your pride. And everybody's different here. Every single person here is different. Whatever it would take to break your pride. And the problem is, the more you've been abused and hurt in life, chances are the deeper your pride is. You know, if you find a person with calluses, you know what? You find a carpenter with calluses. You know what you find? The calluses are where his natural work hurt him the most. And that's where the calluses are. And when you find a person with calluses in their life, that's because that's where they've been hurt the most, okay? They're calloused, they're hard there in that place. Or whatever. And it's really hard to get a person like that to repent of their pride and such, because it's just so ingrained and built. It's part of their defense mechanism. They've put it there. But the idea is, people get this idea that I can open up this Bible and I can just learn it. No, you're not going to open this book and just learn it. Okay? You're not going to open this book and just suddenly understand it. God's going to give it to you, or you're not going to get it. That's the only way it's going to happen, is that God in his mercy will give you this book. Now, last week we preached on the idea of, so shall my words be that go forth out of my mouth. They shall not return unto me void, but they shall accomplish the purpose for which I have intended it. Now, that's a wonderful verse. You know why? Because I have people who are frustrated because of what God's not doing in their life. I have people frustrated over their inability to believe. I have people frustrated over their doubts. And you know what the beauty is? God's word will accomplish the purpose for which he's intended. He's telling you why he intended those verses. He's intended them so that you can know the truth and be made free. That's what he wants it for. Okay? And his word can do it. So John sees this book in heaven, and he looks at it, and the question, who can open that book? Who can even do it? Now it says this, verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. John weeps over it. Weeps. When was the last time you were so frustrated over your Bible you'd weep over it because you can't understand what it says? Let me tell you something. There's been times I've almost beat my head against a wall because I could not see why what was written in there was written. You know, there's people so frustrated because they open that Bible and they read it and they don't get anything out of it. And it doesn't seem to do for them what it does for other people. And John wept over that. Wept. Who can open this book? Who can read this book? Who can give us this book? Who can do it? Verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Let me tell you something, this man Jesus Christ that we preach, he can open that book to you. He can give you the truth. He can make you free. That was his purpose to come. He's the one to worship. He's the one to glorify. He's the one to open and say, oh my God, Jesus Christ, you have given us the word of God. Open the word of God to me. Make these words do in my heart what you've intended them to do.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. But let me tell you something. Solomon said this in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, I know that God hath made man upright, but man hath sought out many inventions. All the inventions that men have come up with over the years, their own hearts, their imaginations, their lives, the things that they built, the castles of lies and doubts they built around themselves. And let me tell you something, there would be no way out of that. It would be a hopeless situation if it weren't for the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yes, sir.
The Root of David, the offspring of David. He's the one that can take this book and he can open it to you that you personally can know what God says. He can speak it in your heart, in your ears, for you to know it.
Amen.
The Bible talks about the Last Supper when John leaned upon his breast and John asked him, who is it? And Jesus Christ tells him, he didn't tell the others, if Peter had known, Peter would have killed Jesus. He tells him, he that I dipped the sop with, and it's he, okay? Why did he tell John and he didn't tell the others? You know why? Because John had his head on the breast of Jesus Christ and he asked him the question and Jesus Christ told him the answer, okay? My mentor Bill Randall used to say this all the time. He says you always see the big three right in there with Jesus Christ, okay? John, James, and Peter, and they're always right there. Why? Because they wanted to be. Why weren't the others there? It didn't mean that much to them. And yet they're all the apostles of God, but three of them wanted a closer walk. Three of them demanded it. Three of them would not live any other way. Love that song. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. And as the Savior passed that way, I would not be denied. I'm not going to be denied. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to call. I'm going to beg him for this. Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. This is our God who said that the truth of God would distill on the earth like the dew on the grass everywhere that you go. And people say, well, I can't find the truth. The truth is here in the Word of God. And you say, well, I've got this Bible and I'm reading it and I'm not giving up. Hey, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's prevailed to open the book. He is God. He's the author thereof. He is the Alpha and the Omega. In the volume of the book, it is written in me, he says. And he will make you understand. That's his promise. He said he'll do it. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us into our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Here's God that takes that book, and it doesn't matter what tongue you speak, he can put that book in your tongue and make you to understand it in your tongue. Out of every nation and made unto us priests and kings, he's made you something great. People sit and wonder, well, how can I know? How can I know for sure? How do I know that pastor's telling me the truth? Get the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Get into it yourself. Find out for yourself. There's not a person in here that God does not want to prove himself personally to you. Not a person in here that he doesn't want to meet with you in the Word of God and whisper in your soul and say, I that speak unto you am he. Who did he say that to? The woman at the well, the broken woman, the woman that's had five husbands, the woman living now with a man that's not even her husband. And yet she stands there at the well with him and talks with him. And at first she asks him, give me this water so that I never thirst. Well, he doesn't give it to her. Why? Because she's not at the point you can give it to her yet. But then they talk about her sin. Okay, they talk about her sin. Go get your husband. Okay. Well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you said that truly. You've had five. The man you're living with now isn't your husband. Okay? He said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Yeah. Now she's listening. Why? She dealt with her sin. This man sees her sin. Okay? Yes. And you know what? He doesn't hate her when he sees the sin.
Hey, sir,
that's a marvelous thing in its own right.
Yes.
Do you realize that God, seeing the wretchedness of your sin, seeing everything you've done, bared to him, nothing hidden, nothing explained the way you want, absolutely say it does not hate you. Okay? The Apostle Paul talked about this. He talked about God who died for us when we were yet in our sins. God commendeth his love toward us. Okay? Why? That he gave Christ to us when we were yet in our sins. And he sees you perfectly, and yet in that loves you anyway. And here's that woman, and you know what? The high priest demanded of Jesus Christ, tell us who you are. Pilate demanded, tell us who you are. And here's this broken woman, and he tells her who he is. You know why? Because you can't demand, you can't force him to say it. But the one broken in sin, he'll whisper it in your soul, I that speak unto thee am he. Okay? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by
us. That's it. Yes.
This is that man, Jesus Christ. And he hath prevailed to open the book. He's prevailed. We have people in here that the world wrote you off so long ago. The world wrote you off. Your schools wrote you off. The government wrote you off. Your neighbors wrote you off. Your family wrote you off. And God didn't write you off. God prevailed, and you've opened the book, and you've read the book, and it's spoken to you. In the volume of the book, you see the life of Jesus Christ. You've known the freedom of Jesus Christ. It's changed your life. It's given you love. It's given you hope. It's done all of those things. It's forgiven all your sins.
Thank the Lord, yes. Thank you.
James said this, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Jesus Christ said, you're clean through the words that I have spoken unto you. That's how it happened. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What a damnable thing for people to teach that the word of God is corrupted. What a damnable thing for them to teach and say that it wasn't meant to be kept. Okay? What a damnable thing when God said, it's through the words of this book that I opened to you that I promise will never pass away. By these words I've cleansed you. And God's given you those words and promised that they will not return unto him void.
Amen.
They are going to accomplish that purpose. Let me tell you something. I've got some people in here. You have heard the words of God. You have heard the words of God. They're sinking down inside of you. You despair and think to yourself, where's all this going? Let me tell you something. God knows what's down inside of there. I read a thing one time talking about a pyramid where they pull out somebody when they had died and put seeds down in that pyramid, and they figured those seeds were 5,000 years old. You know what they found? They planted some. You know what happened? They grew. They grew. A plant that died 5,000 years earlier left its seed. After 5,000 years down in that pyramid, that grew. Let me tell you something. The Word of God will accomplish what God's given it to do. It's growing in your heart. It's in there. It's working. God's doing what it needs to do. He hasn't abandoned you at all. But he says this, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth. Be ye free. He's a Savior and a great Savior. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3. Look, I have water because Miss Katie brought me some. That's good water, Miss Katie. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 3. One of the things Peter wants you to know, he says, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. What are those scoffers saying? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, that's what a scoffer says. Where's the promise of his coming? If you just look around, everything's gone on as it has from the beginning of creation. Nothing's changed. And Jesus Christ says when they say peace and safety, that's when their destruction cometh upon them. Do you realize in the days of Noah, 100 years building an ark, and there were people that watched that and thought that was so foolish. I don't find one single place where anyone was forbidden to get on that ark. I don't find a single place where God says, don't let those other people on that ark. I don't find it, okay? There's people who stood there and watched that ark and building, and you know what they said to themselves? All things continue as they were from the creation of the world, okay? You know, where's the promise? Where's this? It all just continues as it was. Well, what's going on here? And they watched that ark, and probably even when the first drops of rain came, they probably said that to themselves. And finally the day came when God sealed the ark. And people stand there waist deep in water and the water rushing down on their faces. And now it is too late. It is too late. The 1 o'clock we're going to deal with the rapture of the Holy Ghost. And when God has raptured the Holy Ghost and taken all the vessels which the Holy Ghost inhabits, it will be too late.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That will be too late, and it says it's too late.
Sure. Yes.
You go ahead and read Tim LaHaye if you want, but I recommend the Hardy Boys a little bit more. Okay? A little bit of Agatha Christie, maybe. All right? Good Superman comic would be better than Read Behind Tim LaHaye and his Left Behind series and such. There's no truth behind that at all. The Bible says they'll be damned.
That's right.
Okay? Damned. Who chose not the love of the truth. You know what the thing is? Again, I go into this thing over and over again. What people do I see get saved under my ministry? Well, to be honest with you, tall, short, male, female, any of that, none of that matters. The difference is this. I have had people that I have spoken with. I've watched the Word of God stir in their hearts. I've watched it deal with them and such. And I've watched them go away and just, you know, it didn't affect me or whatever else. And then I've watched others struggle sometimes even for years. And finally God break through in their conscience and their soul. And them understand and get pride from them and they get saved. And you know what the difference is? One of them loved the truth and the other didn't.
That's right.
One of them, even though they couldn't grasp the truth, even though they just couldn't wrap their mind around it, something in them wanted that truth. You know what? The long suffering of God. That's why Peter talked about account the long suffering of our God to be salvation. Oh, the things he's put up with. Oh, the things that he's had to endure. And that long suffering of God in putting up with that. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation 3. One of the more famous verses in the Word of God. Revelation 3, look at verse 20. Jesus Christ is speaking here. He's speaking to the church at Laodicea. And he says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And a lot of people picture that as the door of the heart, but he's standing at the door of a church. He's knocking at that church door. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into the whole church. No, I didn't say that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Dale, go on outside that door and close it. and just knock on that door till someone answers. Right out there now. Just go on outside that door and close it, and you just knock on that door. And be impatient. You know, it talks about Peter in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, coming. Peter's knocking at that door, and Rhoda goes to the door. And, well, that's impatient. He opened it. All right? Open for him. But he said, you know what? Everybody hears it. Everybody's hearing it. Said that when Apostle Paul got saved, damn, go knock on the door. Just keep knocking. Tim, go ahead and open it now. Now, the thing is, whoa. You and Tim, come on right up here. Come on, Dale, you two. Two together. He said, I'll come in to him. I'll sup with him.
Hey.
Those two are together now. Okay?
Yes,
you know, everybody heard the knocking, but Tim's the only one. Tim's the only one who went back there and opened that door. You know what Jesus said? I'll sup with him. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'll be with him. And he will sup with me and me with him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, here's this man, Jesus Christ. And we've heard of him all our lives. We've seen pictures of him on the cross, pictures of him in portrait. We've seen all that kind of stuff. But God's trying to give you a picture of him as the one who wants you to know the truth, you personally, where you know the truth. You know, right here, where Dale is sitting, after I've prayed for everybody in the church, and then prayed for my family members, I come up here and I call out the names of people who I think have no peace. There's some of you here, you might be insulted to know I call your name. I just don't see you with peace. Eaten up with doubts, by grace you say through faith. What's the opposite of faith? Doubt. By grace you say through faith. What's the opposite of faith? Doubt. By grace you say through faith, and that not of yourself. You know what the Bible says? Faith cometh by hearing. How did Jesus Christ come to a person? Does he come by being slowly built up inside of him until there's enough Jesus to say no? How does faith come? Until it's built up to enough to say no, faith cometh. It comes to you. And it comes through your ears. Faith cometh by hearing. The words that I speak unto you, they are truth and they are life, okay? The words that I speak unto you, you're clean through the word that I've spoken. The words that are able to save, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. It's the words, they bring faith. They bring it. Before faith came, we were kept under the law. Then faith came, it came to you, okay? It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It came. How did it come? It comes through the word of God. And there's people sitting there trying to drum up faith, embarrassed because they don't have enough, angry over it. The bottom keeps dropping out from under them. Let me tell you something. God will not take you into heaven like you are because you will corrupt heaven. You will corrupt it with what you are. You will corrupt it because you have a sin nature. And your sin nature corrupts everything around it. Gloria Ann Gibbs. It's David Gibbs' wife. You know, after I heard him preach, I just met him out in the hall, and I quoted to him from Psalm 16. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I don't know if I've ever known a person in life that had as much of a goodly heritage as that man had. And I don't know if I've ever known a person in life who's profited as much from his heritage. Here's some of his grandfather. He says his grandfather dropped out of school in the eighth grade. Because if he didn't, he had to take the eighth grade over for the third time. And he talked about his grandfather just going down and getting a neighbor's cow and butchered it. And took the meat into town and sold it and made some money for him and that neighbor. And so he went and found another guy's cow and took it in. Got to the point he could do two cows a week. After 10 years, he was doing 7,000 cows a week, and he had 1,000 employees. He talked about his grandfather, who would every night on his knees say, "Father, it's Earl, and I lack. I don't know what to do with this next problem, but there's 1,000 men that need me. 1,000 men, and I lack. I don't know what to do." He talked about one of the first jobs his grandfather ever gave him to do. Called him in the office, and he said this. He said, "Look at this auction here. We just bought this head of cattle." "Well, sweetheart," he said, "we just bought this head of cattle, and we didn't pay this family enough for this cattle." David Gibbs said, "But it was an auction. We were the highest bidder." He said, "We don't operate that way." He said, "We've destroyed this family. We've destroyed them." He says, "Here's an envelope." He said, "There were thousands of dollars in it." This is the 1960s, thousands of dollars. He said, "Don't let this family go to bed tonight without this money." He said, "Don't, and you apologize to them. Tell them we don't operate this way." He said, "I drove 300 miles. And he said, "When he come up to the door," he said, "there were lights still just on in the back. And he knocked at the door. This woman and man come out suspicious." And he said, "I was sent to apologize to you. We don't do things this way. Here's this money, and we're sorry that you had to go through this day of doubt and wonder." And the last things he heard was that woman telling her husband, "You know what kind of person does this? Christians do it. That's what I've been telling you. Christians do this kind of thing." Okay? You have a godly heritage. But you know what Gloria Ann Gibbs wrote? Ruth Ann bought some of her devotional books. And in one of them, she talked about her granddaughter raising a puppy for the blind. You know, if you can get those dogs where you raise it for 1 year for the blind. And she said that dog was all dog, just all dog. And she said this, she said, "You know, it just runs and plays, but then we put a blue coat on it. When the blue coat's on, it's under training, and it sits as long as you tell it to sit. It goes where you tell it to go, and everything else. You take that coat off, it's all dog again. It's just all happy." And then she said this, she said, "I've noticed in our churches now that both professions, people put that blue coat on."
Oh, yes, sir. That's exactly right.
Nothing's changed on the inside. They're still what they always have been. There she is, Gloria Ann Gibbs. Okay? Godly woman, married to a godly man. Second, third generation of real godliness. And she's just noticing in the churches now that a lot of people just have that blue coat on. Acting like they're supposed to. But take it off. Get them out of church. They're not the same. Let me tell you something. God wants to change your nature. Yes, God wants to change it.
Yes,
and he changes your nature by putting the truth inside you.
Right?
And it changes who you are. It changes what you are on the inside. And you are filled with faith when he does that. You have the assurance from the Holy Ghost that you belong to him. He's forgiven your sins and that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And he opens the book to you. Pastor,